Today is January the 1st, 1996, the beginning of a new year. This is Frida, also known as Mom, Bubby, Aunt Frida, and it's a good day to reminisce. At Joel's urging, and the fact he did provide the tape recorder, I hope to take you on a genealogical safari, or more accurately, a romp through my memory lane. I hope to be your link to your past, perhaps even motivate your future. I'm also hoping that my brothers Moshe, Mutzi, and Noach will be able to add to these memoirs, thereby enriching your legacy. This is your legacy. Let me start with my father, who would have been your grandfather. There's really not too much to tell. We had a very short time with him. I called him Pop. I loved him, and to this day, I revere his memory. Pop was born Avram Gershonovitz in approximately 1886 and lived in a town called Snitkow. This was an area sometimes controlled by Poland and at other times by Russia. He was born to Bindi and Moshe. I know there was a grandmother, Freda. I was named for her. Moshe, Pop's father, died as a young man, leaving Mindy to care for her three children, Avram, Shmuel, and Moshe Meir. Mindy was a sovereign, a cook, who hired out to prepare huge parties. She was a talented lady and was able to fend for herself. She apparently saw to it that her boys were educated. Pop, I remember, spoke several languages. I can recall that he was able to read an English newspaper. I understand that Mindy did remarry, but I don't know anything about this second marriage. Continue. I don't know how Pop earned a living as an adult. I know he served in the Russian army. It seems there was an arranged marriage when he was quite young, and a son was born of this marriage. It apparently was not a good marriage, and there was a divorce. Shmuel, from his photos, was an exact replica of Pop. I can recall hearing the two boys were twins. They certainly were identical, but I can't be certain. Shmuel left Russia and settled in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and made a living as a furrier. He was married, and there was a child. Her name was Miriam. Shmuel and Pop corresponded, but that stopped, of course, when Pop died. Moshe, the youngest brother, was killed while serving in the army. I don't believe he ever married. I do know that Mindy outlived two of her sons and that she was very bitter when she heard of Pop's death. She couldn't accept it and she cut off the relationship. I can remember meeting two of Pop's cousins. One was Dora. She was a little woman. I recall that she had red hair. Whether this was natural or not, I don't know. But it seems that Dora grew up in the same household with Pop, and they were more like brother and sister than they were cousins. I remember that she came to visit us many times after Pop passed away, but there was not a real friendship between her and Bubby Gerson. I think that Bubby Gerson may have been a little jealous of the love between these two cousins, and so she finally severed that relationship. Also, we used to visit another cousin. His name was Chaim. I don't remember the last name. And he had a butter and egg store on South 7th Street. It was located somewhere around 7th and Reed or 7th and Dickinson. And we would go there, walk there on a Saturday morning, possibly, or rather Saturday afternoon, and they would visit. I don't remember much more of these people, but they were very generous, and they loved seeing Pop when we came there. Mom, Bubby, very rarely went along with us. Of course, Bubby was burdened with a lot of little children, and that may have been one of the reasons why she didn't come along with us. My mother, Maryam Pessa, known to most of you as Bubby Gerson, was born around 1892 in a very small town in Russia called Kopagorod. Her father was Shia Moshe, and her mother was Rivka. Her grandmother, Shandel, lived with them, as did Uncle Pollock, Shia Moshe's younger brother. Bubby was the youngest in the family, and although there was very little money, she lived the good life. Her father, Shia Moshe, was a Rav. He taught and was very much respected, very, very orthodox. There is a story that developed around the time that we received a photo of our grandfather, Shia Moshe. It seems that you could not, or possibly it wasn't allowed in the Orthodoxy, to have a photograph taken. This is like a graven image. But he had to appear as a witness in the court. And while there, they took his picture. And that's how some of us were able to get the photo. The photo was sent to Bubby initially, and Uncle Eli made a copy for me many, many years later. And so I have a photo hanging in my house of our grandfather, Shia Moshe. Shia Moshe, as I said, was a Rav. Not a lot of money. They made a living selling milk, eggs, and related products. Bubby told me they always had a cow and many chickens, even a dog. And although there was not a lot of money, they apparently eked out a living. She did have a happy childhood. There were eight siblings. The eldest, Uncle Joe, was about 18 years old when Bubby was born. He lived away from home with a family who hired him as a tailor. He came to America at a very young age and settled in Philadelphia, where he married Fanny, a seamstress. Fanny sewed for the rich and always felt a notch higher on the social scale. She did not enjoy a friendship with a poor immigrant family. They had three children, Carl, who became a pharmacist, Jean, and Jack. Jack owned a dance studio. Jean and Jack both died in their late 30s or early 40s. Carl moved from Philadelphia to the Middle West, where he owned and operated a pharmacy. Joe and Fanny did not have a good marriage, and Uncle Joe left the home and went to Malden, Massachusetts, where he was joined by his brother, Uncle Zisa. Uncle Joe was a very handsome man. I remember him well. He was quite tall and very well spoken. In his later years, however, he lost his hearing and his sight. The eldest sister was Tanta Russell. If there ever was an angel on this earth, it was Tanta Russell. We loved her, and she loved us in return. Tanta Russell married Uncle Charlie, and they had six children. Uncle Charlie and Pop were the best of friends. They both painted for a living and were in each other's company at all times. There was no money in the family, but an abundance of love. Their home was always open to us. They had six children. Sarah, who suffered for many years with dementia. Jean, who died at age 38 and had been ill with tuberculosis. She probably caught the disease from her father, who had the illness for many years before he died. Arthur worked in the U.S. printing office in Washington, D.C. Sam also contracted tuberculosis at a very young age and received treatment for a long while. He died of Alzheimer's. Joshua, who was about a year older than I, also died of Alzheimer's in 1994, and the youngest child, Shirley, or Israel, is now institutionalized with Alzheimer's. Shirley is now about 71 years old. Then there was Tanta Blima, who married Uncle Pollock. Actually, his name was Yechiel, Julius in English. Uncle Pollock, as I mentioned earlier, lived with the family because his father had died. He was our Zaidi Shia Moshe's younger brother. He and Tanta Blima were married in Russia. Shia Moshe and Yechiel had different surnames in order that Yechiel avoid serving in the Russian army. It seems that the two fell in love while they were quite young. And Tanta Blima and Uncle Pollock came to America and soon earned a living selling chickens in a kosher meat market. They lived in a small house behind the market in the 600 block of South 4th Street. in Philadelphia. Tanta Blima worked very hard cleaning and selling the chickens. I recall she was usually in a great deal of pain. They had two children, Bella and Sophie. Because Tanta Blima was in poor health, Bubby Gerson cared for these two girls. Tanta Blima died just a few years after Pop died. She was in her 40s. Uncle Pollock lived to be a very old man. Bella never married and died in her 30s. Sophie did marry and had one son, Jeffrey Dorfman. Sophie was still a young woman when she died. Next came two brothers, Aaron and Noach. I believe the two brothers came to Philadelphia at the same time. Uncle Noach was killed in Ohio. He lived in Dayton, and from what I remember, there was a train accident and he was killed. He had married, but there were no children. Uncle Aaron, on the other hand, stayed for a little while and then went back to Russia so that he could bring his wife and a daughter who had remained in Russia so that he could establish himself in America. But when he went back to Russia, he also was killed by the Bolsheviks. There was another sister, Charna. Charna had been married, but was abandoned by her husband. She had given birth to a son who later abandoned her as well. Charna lived with her mother and father, that's Shia Moshe and Rivka, and was there even after her parents died. We stopped hearing from Charna during World War II. She had usually written to her sisters. The sisters always sent her little bits of money, but the last letter that came was not in Charna's handwriting, and the sisters decided to find out why the letter wasn't written by Charna, and when they wrote back to ask, that was the last that they heard. Charna could not come to America because she had a lame left arm. She probably had a bout with polio in her youth. It seems that her left arm, and I believe, I'm not quite sure about this, but I believe her left leg had also been affected by the disease. So Charna had remained in Russia, and like I said, during World War II, the sisters lost track of her. Following Charna, there was Uncle Zisa. Uncle Zisa was the uncle who met Bubby when Bubby came to America. He was married. He had married Tanta Minnie, who was his childhood sweetheart. And I'm not sure, but I think they also were married in Russia. After a while, Zisa and Minnie left Philadelphia because she had problems with asthma in Philadelphia. And they moved to Malden, Massachusetts, where they stayed for the rest of their lives. They had a very good marriage. They loved each other, and it was just beautiful to be in their company. Uncle Zisa and Aunt Minnie had three children. Jay was the oldest, and then there was Annie, and the third child was Jaime. They're all here today, I believe. I haven't heard otherwise. Bubby Gerson was the last in her family to come to America. Bubby left Hamburg, Germany on June the 30th, 1912, sailing on the Graf Waldersee. Interestingly enough, the cost of her one-way ticket was $50, 50, and was paid for by Uncle Zisa and Uncle Joe. Uncle Zisa, who lived at 1411 South Beulah Street in Philadelphia, met her on her arrival. The crossing was a real hardship and took quite some time, although I don't really know how long. According to immigration records out of the Port of Philadelphia Ships Registry, which I obtained from the National Archives, 9th and Market Streets in Philadelphia, Bubby was 20 years old when she came here and was listed as a dressmaker. Bubby lived with Tante Rojo and went to work as a seamstress, and after a while saved enough money to send for Pop. I don't believe I ever told you how Bubby Gerson and Abraham met. She had told me that all the young people in her town, girls and boys alike, would gather at the river's edge for fun, for food, and dancing. They met there while Pop was still in the Russian army. They fell in love, and soon after he was released from the army, they knew they wanted to marry. Abraham, or Pop, left Germany on January 29, 1913, sailing on the steamer Haverford. This was an American line, and a ship sailed from Hamburg, then to Liverpool, and on to Philadelphia. His ticket was purchased by Bubby Gerson at a cost of $42.50. Bubby met him on arrival. At the time, Bubby's listed address was 711 South 4th Street in Philadelphia. This information I obtained at the Balch Institute for Ethnic Studies, located 18 South 7th Street in Philadelphia. And the information was taken from records of Agent Blitzstein and also the ship's registry. My father was 27 years old when he arrived. Very soon after his arrival, they were married by a Reverend Bugash, that's B-U-G-A-S-H, who was also a Moyal, and they certainly availed themselves of his services. Immediately, Pop searched for an apartment where he and his bride would live and was successful right away. He took Bubby to approve, and when they arrived at the designated place, she almost collapsed. The apartment was situate on an upper floor of a funeral establishment. She wouldn't live there. However, they soon moved to a two-room and a shared bath apartment on the third floor of 313 Catherine Street in Philadelphia. The building was owned by a very nice Mr. Light, who maintained a grocery store on the other side of the street. I can remember Bubby sending me to Mr. Light's store for an item, and all he had to sell me, at least this is what I told her, was candy. The second trip back again, of course, I was able to buy whatever it was that she sent me for. But Mr. Light understood, and so did she, I'm sure. To get back, It was at 313 Catherine Street that my mother and father had their 9 children. They certainly were poor, but apparently happy. Pop and Uncle Charlie had a wonderful friendship. They were both painters. Uncle Charlie was a house painter, and Pop painted ceilings of theaters and other tall buildings. Pop was very religious. He attended shul twice daily, and after the evening service, would bring someone home to partake of the meal. He never worked on the Sabbath, and we lived as an observant family. Uncle Charlie and he always attended the same shul, and if they had a falling out with the other congregants, they would start their own shul. But always there was a shul. I can remember Pop teaching me at a very young age the Hebrew alphabet and the prayers. And when, before Yom Tov, he would perform the blessings of Shlok Kapporos using a live chicken. The chicken was screaming, I was screaming, and the next night I hid in a bread basket in front of the grocery store where I was found. He used money for the rite afterwards. I can also remember the carp floating in the only tub we had, actually a round galvanized laundry tub. Bessie and Abe, as he was later called, had 9 children. The first child, a boy, was stillborn on February 15, 1914. The second child, Sophie, died May the 9th, 1915, at the age of 2 months. Bubby told me she died of the whooping cough, although the cemetery records show she died of pneumonia. These 2 children are buried on the grounds of the Harry Sachs Lodge in the Harnebo Cemetery, located at 6061 Oxford Avenue in Philadelphia. Bubby and Pop had 7 more children and still lived at the Catherine Street address. I can recall Bubby giving birth to a child and getting out of bed soon after, so that she could prepare and even sew a dress for me for the next day's school. They were friendly with their neighbors, a Mrs. Blistein who lived at 311 Catherine Street, and Bubby often visited with an elderly lady, a Mrs. Seltzer, who lived in the attic on the 4th floor of the same house that we lived in. And above all, she loved her 2 sisters and spent lots of time with them. On Saturday night, my father would come home from shul with 1 or 2 elderly men in tow and prepare the marmalade. This was yellow cornmeal, which, when steamed, was poured out like a mold, and then he would use a string to slice and portion out the cornmeal. This was covered with butter and cottage cheese. Of course, schmaltz, herring, onions, cucumbers, tomatoes were all part of this repast. It was a ritual every Saturday night. It was marmalade and herring.